Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Acts 8 and 26. And I do want to say it's been a wonderful time to be in God's house this morning. I appreciate those that came out. You know, sometimes when you announce about missions and missionaries and so forth, that's a lot of people's opportunity to say, you know what, I'm not going to go to church today because of that. And I pray that that's not your heart this morning. Missions is the heart of God. It's the very heart of Him. In fact, before we read our scripture this morning, I want us all to say right here above my head what we have. If you can say this with me, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Now, I want you to put emphasis on the second word. Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. That word ye right there was not specifically only talking to the disciples. I know when Jesus made this proclamation, when He made this great commission, is what it's called, He was speaking to His disciples that were standing there in front of Him. And some people say, well, now, Brother Byron, I have not been called to be a missionary. I was not a disciple. And when He gave this great commission, He was specifically speaking to His disciples. And so, therefore, that does not include me. I'm not part of that. Well, the problem with that is, if you want to pick and choose from the Bible what you're responsible for, then let's take, for example, what Brother Paul was talking about when he presented the gospel about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe when Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night, there in John 3:16, and the Lord Jesus told him that, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe He was speaking to a Pharisee at the time. So if you want to tell me you're going to pick and choose only who God was speaking to at the time to apply that to your life, then let's take John 3:16 out. That doesn't apply to you no longer, does it? You see, we don't pick and choose from the Bible how we think it pertains to us, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for instruction in righteousness. So it's to make the man of God perfect and truly furnished, not only preachers and pastors and missionaries and evangelists, but everyone. The verse says, go ye. That means you. That means me. That means all of us. So as we read the Scripture this morning, I won't be long. I promise you, it's only 10 minutes after 11. You'll be at Cracker Barrel before every other church in Knoxville. All right. So chapter 8 there of Acts, verse 26, we'll read from. You can remain seated this morning. Quite a bit of verses to read. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go." If you underline things in your Bible, underline those three words, arise and go. "Toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went." Go ahead and underline that. "He arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the Scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that eunuch, that saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Lord, help me just for a few minutes as I preach on this passage of Scripture. Lord, just be here in a mighty way, and we give you all the honor and praise and glory. It's these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this very familiar passage of Scripture, of course, talking about Philip. This is not the disciple Philip, the one that Jesus called one of the 12. It's not the same Philip. This is a different one. This Philip is also referred to as Philip the Evangelist over in Acts chapter 21, verse 8. He's called an evangelist. And he is one of those early deacons that was called to the church. Remember back in the book of Acts, after the day of Pentecost, when the church started expanding. In fact, the Bible said it multiplied. It multiplied. And as the church grew and got bigger, they had to have men come in to help out those preachers, the apostles, Peter, James, and John. They said, you know, we can't wait on tables. We can't do all this other work. We need to call us some men. So they called seven men. One of those being Philip. He was the second, in fact, that the Bible mentions, right after Stephen. Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost and power of God. And then it says Philip. This is that Philip. Philip the evangelist, as he's called later on, as he becomes an evangelist. But, you know, a lot of times when we talk about missions, and we talk about the Apostle Paul being probably one of the greatest missionaries that ever walked the face of the earth. And I've even heard some people say he was the first missionary. Well, he was not, in fact, the first missionary. I believe Jesus and his disciples were the first ones. But after that, we see, of course, Stephen, who was martyred there. And then we have Philip. He's probably one of the most profound missionaries that we'll find in the Bible of living for the Lord and following the Holy Spirit in his missions endeavors. Well, if you look at the first chapter of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says this, Jesus, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Well, we know the New Testament church was started with Jesus and his disciples, and then it was empowered on the day of Pentecost. When Peter preached that wonderful message, and the fire of the Lord came down, the Holy Spirit filled their hearts, and thousands were saved, and that's when the church was empowered. Now, we know from reading our Scripture that the Apostle Paul, if you look in the next chapter, chapter 9, I believe it is, the Apostle Paul all of a sudden starts wreaking havoc on the church. And the church starts growing and expanding because they split. They go in different areas. They're not just contained in Jerusalem. They go through all regions of the world. And that's how the church started expanding and growing. Well, it needed men to go and be missionaries in all parts of the land. Well, this man, Philip, has been called by God to do just that thing. In our opening text, the Bible said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Well, Philip had just previously, if you look up at the beginning of the chapter, he'd been in Samaria. The Holy Spirit had him go to Samaria, one of those places. And by the way, may I say this, that I noticed that when the church began and when the gospel started spreading, do you notice that all these prejudices all of a sudden went away? Do you remember the Jews, how they looked upon the Gentile and how they looked upon certain people and they thought certain things about them? Well, I find that all of a sudden all barriers have been broken now. The barriers have been broken. They're sending Philip to go over into the land of Samaria, where at one time the disciples would not even venture to go over there. This was a land that they did not go to. But now they're entering into this land to preach the gospel to these people. Well, that's where Philip has been spending his time. And the Bible says there was great joy in the city after he preached there. And then here in our verse, the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. So he's following, first of all, I want you to know, he's following the leadership of the Holy Spirit in his missionary endeavors. That's the number one thing in the life of a missionary. They must follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. No doubt Paul here was not even considering back years ago that he would one day go into a public school and share the gospel with kids in school. No doubt. But because of the Holy Spirit urging and tugging his heart, and you know what, that's how the Holy Spirit works. I mean, he mentioned his wife talking about going to Haiti. Do you not think for a minute that Holy Spirit spoke to that wife? And then she, in turn, spoke to him. And then the Holy Spirit led them both to be able to go into missions. Friends, that's how the Holy Spirit works. He's working in this man, Philip. He started out as a deacon. And what's he doing? He's listening to the call of God through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit tells him, you go over to Samaria, and then you go into this place that I'm going to show you. He said, arise and go toward the south, and the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, I ask you to underline these words in your Bibles, arise and go. I noticed that the Lord spoke to Philip, and he just gave him a command. He said, arise and go. Now, what if somebody came to you, and they said, for example, Sister Linda, arise and go. What's the first thing we're going to do? Where? Where? How can I? I've got things to do. I've got other obligations. What do you mean arise and go? What do you mean? That's our human flesh at us. If suddenly the Lord speaks to you and He says, arise and go, just like He told Abraham and the Ur of Chaldees, arise and just go where I'm going to tell you to go. And that's what He's done. The Holy Spirit has spoke to him. He said, arise and go. And I noticed that Philip, what did he do? The Bible said he got up and he went. It didn't say, he said, are you sure about that, Lord? You know, I'm a deacon. Why are you calling me all of a sudden to go preaching in the other place? And why am I going down here to this place down south? I don't understand this. He said, rise and go toward the south. Why am I leaving the area of Jerusalem and going toward Egypt? You see, the road to Gaza is from Jerusalem on to Egypt, and that was a main artery or route that they would travel to get from one place to the other. Very well traveled. Well, obviously this man, this eunuch, has been in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us he was. He's there to worship. Maybe he was there at Pentecost, and maybe he was one of those that were there. But he's going back to where he's from. But the Holy Spirit tells Philip to arise and go. He didn't ask any questions. He didn't say, or do this or that. Let me tell you what the next step is. It is obedience. The next step in the life of a missionary, in the life of a Christian, is obedience. Do you know that's the most important thing to God, is your obedience? Now, no doubt this past week you've seen the video that went viral of a certain pastor and his wife that stood up, and the wife said that you don't really come to church for God, you do it for yourself, and your happiness is what brings God the most joy, is what was said from that church. Well, friends, I want you to know that that is not God's number one priority in your life, is your happiness. Now, it's a great thing when you're happy. That's wonderful. But that is not God's priority in your life, is your happiness. It is your obedience. That is what God desires of you today, is your obedience to Him. Always been that way. You look through all the Bible, you go from the very beginning all the way to the end, and you're going to find that the number one priority to the Lord is your obedience to Him. Number one. Now, I'm not going to dwell on that a lot this morning, but I want you to know that your happiness, while it's great, God desires your obedience more than anything. We see that Philip had obedience. He said, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Well, whether he was still in Samaria or whether he was back in Jerusalem at the time, we're not positive. But anyway, the angel of the Lord says, you go there. And so he starts going. The Bible says in verse 27, he arose and went. And now we see that obedience kicking in. First of all, he's waiting on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Second of all, his obedience is priority in his life because he arose and went. He didn't get up and say, boy, this is unfair. How come Peter gets to go over here to this place and I've got to go down here? I don't understand, Lord. Why me? Why this and why that? Boy, that's what we do, don't we? Why, Lord? Why me? Well, his obedience is going. He arose and went. No questions asked. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Well, this Candace, this is a title, much like Pharaoh or president, something like that. That was not her given name, but that was her title, Candace. And that's what they called this queen of Ethiopians. You see, the Ethiopians, they didn't worship the king, they worshiped the queen. She was the one in charge. And there was a lot of awful types of worship down there. They worshiped the sun. They worshiped many things. But this man is a high authority in the court there of the queen of Ethiopia. And in fact, he keeps the money. He's in charge of the treasure, it says. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he's one that wants to follow God. He's interested in the things of God. We can see that right here from his life. He's been to worship. And he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. Reading from the prophet Isaiah. So he's got some scripture with him. Now, bear in mind, the New Testament was not written at that time. All they had was the old. They had the old scrolls and scripture. No doubt right here he's reading from the old text of Isaiah. And verse 29 says, the Spirit said unto Philip, again, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Here we see again Philip in obedience. The Bible says he ran. He didn't say, seriously? Seriously, Lord, I'm on foot. He's in a chariot. He's going down the road. You really expect me to go up this chariot? He didn't say all that. What did the Bible say? He ran to him. Why did he have to run? because the Ethiopian eunuch was sitting in the back of the chariot reading from the Bible while his drivers was driving down the road in this chariot, no doubt being pulled by oxen or some animal as they go down the road. And so Philip has to run to catch up with them. He was very obedient. He ran to him. Philip never hesitated. And how many times have you hesitated? I heard from somebody just this week that said that God had laid something on their heart for them to do, and they waited. And they put it off. And in fact, they put it off so long that then they felt ashamed that they didn't do it, so they decided they wasn't going to do it at all. How many times have we done that in our life? I've done that over and over. God will tell me to do something, and I'll make up an excuse, or I'll put it off, or I'll think, I'll get to that, and I won't do it. And then when it comes down to it, and God, you know how it feels. When the Lord keeps telling you, I told you to do this. And it gnaws at you, and you think, man, I should have done that. But now I've waited this long, I'm going to look stupid. And that's what we do. Our flesh does that to us. You know, and what we need to do is we need to be obedient. When God tells you to do something, even if you have put it off and you feel like you're going to be foolish, go ahead and do it. You know what? God placed that in your heart to do. Go do it. I don't care if it's been 2 weeks or 3 weeks and you've put it off and now all of a sudden you're ashamed of yourself and you're going to think, well, I just won't do it at all. Go ahead and do it. If God's in it, you're not going to be foolish. You're giving God all the glory. That's what He's looking for, is obedience to Him. And He's wanting you to go ahead and do that thing. Philip is going ahead and he's going to do this. He's going to run to that chariot and he's going to run up to him, catch up to him because the Lord told him to. Now, you can only imagine what it must have been like for him. Here's this guy of high stature. I mean, obviously, he's got a chariot. He's got helpers there that's driving for him. He's not reading and driving at the same time. He's not texting and driving in the chariot at the same time. He's sitting in the back. He's a big guy. You know, he's one of these that you know, royalty type people. And so he's back there in the back of this chariot. Well, here he goes down through there. This had to be tough on Philip. I mean, that's where he could have started making excuses, right? Now, Lord, this guy, he's up on the social level that I'm not on. I'm going to sound so stupid. My old country hick accent that I've got. Lord, you really don't want me talking to this guy. He's going to think I'm a fool. And he could have made all those excuses. Well, he probably don't want to be disturbed, Lord. I mean, he's a man of high stature. And, you know, I probably should make an appointment. He didn't do all that. You know, but for some reason we think that when God wants us to do something, that it all should be laid out for us and on fluffy marshmallows and floating clouds. And that every thing that we do ought to just go as smooth as silk. Why do we think that? That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what God says of His Word. Do you know 9 times out of 10 when God wants you to do something, it's going to be a pretty tough row to hoe? Do you think it's going to be easy for Brother Paul to go into a public school and tell people about the gospel? It's not going to be easy. He's already told you. They've already got opposition out there that's ready. You can look in the paper. Every time you see a prayer given in a public school or at a ball game or something like that, you know what happens? Those crazy ones come out. Oh, we're going to sue you for praying at your game. We're going to sue you for doing this and doing that. People are closing down their businesses. People that don't want to bake cakes for the sodomites, they're getting closed down because of these groups coming down here that's ungodly. There's opposition out there. And there's opposition on things. Listen to what Jesus told Ananias. You remember when the Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul of Tarsus, the one that was persecuting Christians, the one that the Bible said he was going and wreaking havoc upon the church, and as he went on that road to Damascus, well, Ananias had no idea he'd been saved on that road. And when Jesus comes to him, the Holy Spirit tells him, he says, I'm going to send him here, Saul of Tarsus. And what does Ananias say? Whoa, wait a minute now. Hold on, I know this guy. I know what he's about. And you know, that's not good. And what's the Lord say? Acts 9:15. Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16 said, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He didn't say, I'm going to show him how sweet the journey's going to be. I'm going to show him how much I'm going to just layer the road on his way to his journeys with marshmallows and graham crackers and chocolate fudge. And I'm getting hungry. Even Peter in his writing, he says this in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." So the things that the Lord asks of us sometimes are not going to be easy. They're going to be tough. You know what the Bible, I remember back in the 70s when I was a little kid, and I'd hear that old radio playing, and I believe it was Lynn Anderson back in 1970, she was singing, "I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden." You all remember that, don't you? Yeah, well, the Lord never promised you a rose garden, but you know what He did promise? He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He says that. In fact, I find that at least four or five times in my Bible where He makes that promise. And while it may not be a rose garden, He'll be there with us. He's going to lead us on down that journey because it's His will. There in the end of verse 30, it says, "And heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" Well, Philip asked him if he understood what he was reading. That seems kind of strange, doesn't it? How many people have you went up to that's reading a book and you said, "Excuse me a minute, do you understand what you're reading?" That sounds kind of funny, don't it? Well, I want you to know this is how the Lord was working in this situation. He was leading Philip through the Holy Spirit. You know what? God already had it set up for him. Do you see that? Even though it wasn't the easiest thing to do, even though he had to run the chariot down, even though he had to step out on faith and be obedient, God already had a plan in motion for him. And as long as he was obedient, God's going to take care of him. He's not going to leave thee nor forsake thee. And so when he comes up to the chariot, he's running up there beside it, and he can hear the guy reading in the back. He's reading out loud. That was common. That's still common over in that area. They read out loud. And no doubt he was reading to the guy driving. Maybe there was other people there. Maybe they was all listening as he was reading from Isaiah. Well, this is how God opens the door for the gospel. And he just happens to be reading in one of the best places he could have ever read in the Old Testament. There in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. And it's talking about the Lord Jesus, the coming Messiah, the promised one. And so Philip just asked him out boldly. He says, "Do you understand even what you're reading?" Well, what does he say? Verse 32. Or verse 31. He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The door to the gospel has just been opened. Do you see this? "Hold on, driver. Stop for a minute." They stop, open up the door, and Philip, the evangelist, running there in his sandals in the dirt, comes up into the royal chariot, gets in, sits down to share the gospel with this man. Verse 32, "The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speakest this prophet this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The name Jesus was not ever even given back in Isaiah. That name was not given. But the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christos, the blessed promise of God was given. And that's who he was talking about in the book of Isaiah. Well, you see, there was a problem back then with a lot of teaching. Some were teaching that this was talking about the prophet Isaiah himself. Some was talking about he's talking about the burden of Israel. Some were talking about other things. But some honestly did think he was talking about the blessed Messiah that was promised. And so the eunuch just flat out asked him, who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about that other one? Is he talking about some other man? And so Philip started preaching Jesus. Philip is the perfect missionary to be able to preach this message. He's preaching here in the back of the chariot. And the Bible said he opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I want you to know, in missionary work, in spreading the gospel and sharing the gospel with people, there's three ingredients that must be done. You look at these. You write these down. First of all, you must be led by the Holy Spirit. You must be led by the Holy Spirit. There's no other way about it. You can go out on your own. You can go out in your own strength and power, and you're going to fail. But I want you to know, when the Holy Spirit is leading, He's going to make the door open for you. He's going to help you. And so he tells him, the number one ingredient, you must be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives conviction to men. The Holy Spirit is the one that illuminates Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the one that speaks to you. The Holy Spirit is the one that guides you. And the Holy Spirit must be there. Without that, true conversion is not going to happen without the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. Secondly, you must be saved by the Word of God. The Word of God. There's no substitute. Let me say to you this morning, people do not get saved by listening to music. Now, Brother Byron, I love music. I love singing. I do too. Love it with all my heart. Now don't fall away on me right now. If the song lyrics are from the Word of God and you hear those song lyrics and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and shows you you're a lost sinner and you get saved, you got saved through a song. But it was the Word of God that did it. It was the Word of God. You know, the music we sing, those that we sung up here, they start speaking to our hearts as we get up. They prepare us for the Word of God. They prepare us, and the Spirit starts moving and stirring the waters like it did there at the Pool of Bethesda. Starts stirring the waters of our hearts. And that music helps us there. But the Word of God is what saves man. Listen, Romans 10 and 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The Word of God. Thirdly, there must be a proclaimer of the gospel. There must be a proclaimer. Romans 10 and 14. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" That word preacher, it comes from a Greek word. It's called keruso. It means a heralder, a proclaimer, a public crier is what that word means. And, you know, everybody, like Paul said, everybody here has not been called to preach or to be a missionary or a pastor or anything like that. Everybody's not. But everybody in here is a preacher of some sort. You are a heralder of the gospel. What would we say? "Go ye into all the nations and preach the gospel to every creature." That just made you, friend, a preacher. A preacher. You're not a pastor. Ladies don't pastor. But you're a preacher of the gospel. You're one that proclaims and heralds the gospel. That must happen. That word preacher there. It must be one there in an ingredient to be saved. Verse 36. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, not to be saved, but to spread the gospel." I'm sorry. "And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Well, now we see the results of the missionary endeavor. As the Bible said, he preached Jesus unto them. He preached Jesus. In other words, he preached the death. He preached the burial. And he preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What did the eunuch refer to Jesus as? Christ. He referred to him as Jesus Christ. He is Christ. I've done said it. He's the Christos. He's the Savior. He's the one that cleanses men of their sin. And he recognized Jesus as such. He said that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Obviously, when Philip preached there and started preaching Jesus, he gave him the straight gospel. He told him about the death, burial, and resurrection. He told him about believing in Jesus. He told him that you must believe with all thine heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God raised him from the dead. All Romans chapter 10, verse 9, you can start there and look at that. But notice he used that title, Christ. True conversion, you must believe in Jesus Christ. Christ. You know, there's a lot of men that was called Jesus. There's only one Christ, and it's Jesus Christ. We see that the Spirit led, the Word of God was read, and someone proclaimed the gospel. And what happened? This man got saved. How do we know he got saved? Because Philip then said, well, there's nothing barring you from being baptized. You got saved. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You trusted in Him as your Savior. Let's go down here in the water and let's dunk you under. What happened? They went down. It says they went down into the water. They didn't get sprinkled. He didn't pull out a little cup of water and sprinkle it on his head. The Bible says they went down. They went down in there. And then later on it says, and they come back up. So they're fully submerged in the water, just like us Baptists do, full submersion. Verse 39, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. That eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all cities till he came to Caesarea." And just like that, Philip again, being carried away by the Holy Spirit, was led off to another missionary journey. Now I want to ask you this morning, Do you believe the Bible? Is there anybody in here that's going to raise their hand today and say, Brother Byron, I don't believe the Bible? Anyone like that today? Go ahead and raise your hand if you don't believe the Bible. Well, I want to know. Everybody in here believes the Bible. We believe this is God's Word. It's infallible. It's perfect. And it is the source of our life. It's the source of our future. We believe it. We believe this commandment that Jesus said to go ye. If you believe that this morning, then I want to know, what are you doing to spread the gospel? If you believe it, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you willing to step out and say, Lord, use me. God, spread the gospel through me. You may not go to a school. You may not stand behind a pulpit. You may not teach a Sunday school class. You know what, that guy in that cubicle right on the other side of you that uses the Lord God's name in vain? That person on Facebook that likes to post their little funny pictures of themselves drinking and getting drunk? That's your opportunity. That's your opportunity to say, God, you said for me to go and preach the gospel. I want to share this verse of Scripture with you. Maybe you should just inbox that little friend on Facebook that talks like that and say, let me tell you what Jesus said right here in His Word. Maybe the guy in the cubicle next to you would like to see you walk in one day with your Bible. You know, I believe I can still do that where I work. I've got one at work. Maybe you can share the gospel in some simple way that it's not having to run down a chariot. But God has called you. One way or the other, He's called you. Are you going to take that responsibility this morning? Or are you going to walk out the doors this morning and say, that was meant for somebody else? I should have went to somewhere else today. I should have went and ate out somewhere instead of coming to church because that was not for me. It was for you. It's for everybody. It was for ye. Father, thank you for the message this morning. Lord, I'm praying today, God, that you've spoke to hearts. Lord, nothing I've done, but God, only what your holy word can do. God, I thank you for men like Paul that's willing to sacrifice, to share the gospel, God, to fulfill the great commission. Lord, we all have that responsibility in one way or the other. God, if you will open hearts today, God, and speak to those that need to do something. God, whether it's writing a letter and sending it out and telling somebody about Jesus, Lord, whether it's telling their coworker, somebody they see in public, Lord, their neighbor, their family member, God, there's those out there that need to hear the gospel. Lord, would you open up our hearts today and to be willing and acceptable and to be obedient to you and to share that gospel to every creature. Lord, help us today as we do the invitation. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand today and let's...